The NCAA tournament starts today. Tips just after noon. Tim Benz with you. It is Breakfast with Benz. Thank you for joining us as we take one more look at the brackets before all the action starts. Joining me right now to do that, the best in the business. He's a Pittsburgh media alum. You can catch him at the Sporting News, writing college basketball columns there. Big Ten Network studio analyst. He does the NCAA bracketing for Fox Sports as well. He is Mike DeCourcy. Mike, great to catch up with you again. Let's dive right in with the most pressing question of the day. What do you think of the Steelers re-signing Larry Ogunjobi?
Great. It's great. He did a really nice job, and it is amazing how this kind of tries to overwhelm March Madness. The effort that the national media and I don't mean the college basketball national media, the Andy Katzes and Jeff Goodmans and Rob Dosters and such. I mean the media machine that loves to ignore college basketball, and now NFL free agency gets to start right the week that everybody starts to really pay attention to basketball. And then we don't have to pay attention to it at all. That seems to be the attitude.
Well, Mike, let's look at the brackets and start with Pitt. I had a Pitt fan yell at me recently online because I did mention a Steelers signing before I mentioned Pitt basketball and March Madness when I was on DVE. So I might be part of that machine by accident. Although March Madness is pretty much my favorite time of the year, unless it's Super Bowl Sunday on a national scale. I love today. I love March Madness. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when we were discussing expansion, how perfect this is as it is. I hope it remains the same. But let's start with the Panthers. They got a win already in what is the quasi-expanded version of the tournament. Dayton has become part of the lexicon a long time ago, though. I think people are kind of used to that, the field of 68 at this point, and Pitt becomes a member of that. An alum of Dayton now with a win against Mississippi State. What did you think of how they performed, and what do you think of their chances against Iowa State on Friday?
I thought they did a great job on Tuesday. It's a challenging defensive team to play against. Much bigger, obviously, and to play without Federico for 40 minutes. I thought they did a really great job to withstand the initial shock of the worst shooting, not only the worst three-point shooting team in this tournament, but one of the worst in history to make it into the field, coming out and busting four threes in the first 6 or 7 minutes. That's a tough deal for a team, because you look at that and you're like, wait a second, the scouting report said this was okay. And then they hit them, and all of a sudden you're down and you're wondering whether or not this is going to continue. Fortunately for the Panthers, Mississippi State regressed to the mean. Very fortunate, considering how the game ended, that they wound up missing another one at that point. But overall, I thought the team executed pretty well on offense. There was a miss without Fed out there. It really did have an impact. I thought as the game wore on, Diaz Graham became more comfortable, and he made obviously the block at the end that set up the final play. He was much more comfortable in the second half than he was in the first. A little too comfortable at one point when he took the three when they were fighting to retain the lead. I did not think that was a good shot, although he can make it certainly, and he was open at that stage in the game. Wasn't the best decision, but overall, I thought his second half contributed to the victory, and that was a part of why they were able to get through a difficult game.
What's your view of Iowa State? I read in the Des Moines Register an interesting post which suggested that Iowa State was probably happy that this game turned out the way it did between Mississippi State and Pitt, because Iowa State has had a more difficult time this year with teams that are like them, and Mississippi State might fall under that umbrella more than Pitt does. Do you see it that way? How does this play out from a Cyclones point of view?
Yeah, I think that when you're playing against a team that has the shooting ability of Pitt, that I don't think that you'd rather do that. I think they'd rather have played Mississippi State Iowa State's a very good defensive team. You're playing against an offensive team that's pretty meager. Think about it. I think the final score was 60-59. They scored 59 points against Pitt's defense. I mean, I think that Pitt has made a lot of progress this year, but most of it has been at one end of the floor. I think if Iowa State had played Mississippi State, they might have been able to approach shutting them out. So no, I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm not saying that means that Iowa State doesn't win or whatever, but I would never prefer to play a team with Pitt's offensive ability, the ability to go out and on a great day have a great day and start making threes all over the place. Now, I mean, Mississippi State's defense is sixth in the country, and in the second half, I thought Pitt got cautious a little bit. And not necessarily to their detriment, because I didn't think they took too many bad shots in the second half, but there weren't a lot of threes from the guys you want to make threes. The one from the logo was, I still can't believe he launched it, but he made it. But for the most part in the second half, they were pretty cautious, and they were also taking what the defense gave them. There were a lot of hard closeouts. So you bounce it once, and sometimes the path leads you inside the arc, either all the way to the rim or part of the way there. You know, the one aspect of the Pitt performance that I would criticize was that they were giving those hard runouts, and so Pitt was driving the basketball, but not intelligently. Too many charges for a team that really doesn't do that very much. They needed to stop and make plays rather than try to make them on the move.
To your point, they are quite good defensively when I look at them, but not necessarily against the three. Pitt is a very good three-point shooting team, and Iowa State, one thing they don't do great defensively is guard the three.
Right, and that's exactly part of why I said that I didn't think that this is a better matchup for the Cyclones. I think that they would rather have, like I said, I think that going against the Mississippi State offense, I think they would have been very comfortable stopping them and slowing that team down. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Iowa State's a really well-coached defensive team, and they know what they're up against. But as you saw with that logo shot, a great shooting team like Pitt can really hurt you. And so I'm very interested to see how it develops, how it works out. But I think the Panthers now, I mean, I don't, any detractors that are left, the ones who would contend that the first four is not part of the tournament, that's been dismissed now. I think that the one thing that you say about Pitt's season is that they had a chance to win a league championship, and the challenge in front of them to do that wasn't that daunting. And that became their worst performance. But I think that they could counter by saying, okay, but we got in the show and we were in an even game and we took care of it. And so maybe it's not quite, if you could trade one for the other, I'm not sure which you would choose. But I think today, with the opportunity to go to Greensboro or turn on the TV and watch the Panthers tomorrow, I think they'd probably, the Panthers themselves would probably say that they'd like the chance that they have.
How about the first game of the day, Maryland and West Virginia? Let's keep it with the local teams for now. How do you think the Mountaineers will do against the Terps?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from West Virginia when I watch them. They're not as mercurial as, say, Illinois, which is all over the map. But I do know that in watching the Mountaineers, a lot of times their offense, it disconnects itself. It takes its, basically, it pulls its own plug. The careless turnovers at times, especially under pressure, that's the part that I can't predict. I know that Maryland's defense is really tough. I know that mentally they're really tough. I watched them play the entire year, have a couple of really bad games in early, late December, early January. But since that time, they've been highly competitive in just about every game they've played. They have a terrific guard in Jameer Young, a point guard who is basically a scoring point guard. They do really well with that. And Dante Scott, their veteran power forward, very good shooter for a player his size. Not a great one, but very good. They've been getting a lot out of him as well. Julian Reese, who plays for the post for them, not the most physically powerful player, but very quick, very, adept at moving in space and understanding how the defense is playing him. It's an 8-9 game for a reason, very evenly matched. I have been interested to see that a pretty clear majority of national media have picked the Mountaineers. I found myself on the wrong side of that one, maybe. I don't know, because I picked Maryland to win it. But it does show you that West Virginia comes in with a lot of expectation from how they finish the season.
Last tip of the night, another local team. Penn State's back in the tournament. They're going up against Texas A&M. I talked to Jay Wright earlier in the week, Mike, and he said this is going to be the best first-round game of the entire bracket. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the what I feel badly for Penn State is that I thought A&M was misseeded by about two lines, at least one. I thought that they were a five after what they did last week and what they've done the last few weeks, sort of repairing the damage they did to their own resume back in November, December. I thought that they had played really well over the last couple of weeks, and they rose to runner-up in the SEC regular season, runner-up in the SEC tournament, and they wind up in a seven seed. Penn State should be playing a weaker team than that. What I worry about with Penn State, especially in that game, the last game of the day, is that generally officials on the first day of the tournament call games pretty loosely because they have to get four games in one day in one building. And now add on to that, you're the last of those games. Texas A&M will follow you when you get off the bus. And they don't just – it's not just a ticky-tacky. I compare it – you go back to the Georgetown days, late 80s, early 90s, after Patrick Ewing was gone, and John Thompson's approach was on the perimeter to foul as much as you could because they can't call them all. And I saw that in person when I covered the Panthers. Really caused problems for Pitt at times. And this one is different because – They just don't hack your arms on the perimeter. I mean, it's a extraordinarily physical brand of basketball wherein they commit all kinds of hard fouls and not only wear you down, but they're the officials to call them all. You see a lot of times A&M playing 2-hour and 15-minute, 2-hour and 30-minute games because of all the physicality that there is. They are willing to withstand the officials calling all the fouls. I don't like Penn State having to go against that, and I wonder about whether or not they can stand up to that, because you're basically talking about, depending on how you view their big guys, but you're looking at about a five-man team for four positions, the other four other than the center spot. I worry about them getting worn down physically because of the late season and because of A&M's physicality.
Who's your final four, Mike? I have Houston, or I had Houston anyway. I rode them all year long. Now Sasser's hurt, and I'm worried. Do the Cougars make it? And who do you have for your final four?
Yeah, my final four from that region, I took Texas.
Yeah, they're the other team I was leaning on in that region when I started to wobble on Houston.
Yeah, the only reason I would, if Sasser hadn't gotten hurt, I would have picked Houston. I think they're as complete a team as there is in a field that's fairly incomplete. But I saw what happened with Sasser, sports medicine is different now, maybe, and better. But I still wonder if you can bounce back from that injury in the period of time allotted. I don't know if he can. So I went with Texas with a pretty good level of comfort about what they bring. But obviously, I think Houston's a better basketball team when they're whole. From the West region, I took Connecticut. Wow. I think that, I was surprised that when I looked at some of the analysts, Seth Greenberg had my exact final four, for instance. I was surprised that a lot of people wound up in a similar position to me. UConn's really talented. They're pretty complete. If they get to a Sweet 16 game against Kansas – and play there, I think their size becomes a real problem for Kansas, which is a smaller team, has a 6'7" center, obviously extraordinarily talented, and with Grady Dick and Jalen Wilson. But I thought that UConn's size would prevail there. In the East region, I went with Duke, playing very well in a bracket that's not overly imposing. I think that Purdue is a terrific team, but they have obvious flaws at this stage. Marquette is a terrific team, but they're less talented than some other teams in this tournament. I could certainly see Marquette getting through to the Final Four, but not winning the championship. But at this point, if I'm right and Duke gets that far, I think that their talent would outweigh Marquette's intelligence on the floor. And I think Duke has smart guys too, but The way Marquette plays at this point with their pick and roll with Tyler Colick, Oso Igudaro, they are the best at that in college basketball. But I still think Duke's variety of talent and the size at the rim makes the difference. And then Alabama, it was almost like they received an engraved invitation to the Final Four with the bracket that they got. There were people who thought they might try to punish them a little bit or challenge them a little bit for how they handled the awful situation on their campus, or excuse me, near their campus, involving three of their players, one of whom has been arrested. There were a lot of people who thought they might be challenged, and instead, like I said, that their bracket's about, as this tournament goes, it's about as easy as it can be. They would have had to totally misseed teams to make it any easier than it is.
Finally, Mike, who's your champ? And do you have any good Cinderella teams? Do you have any teams emerging from like the 12 line or higher that either make a big upset play today or make a good run through to the Sweet 16?
I did pick Drake to beat Miami,
Oh, I've got that
and
as one.
yeah, I think that could happen. There are a lot of teams like that, though. I think that Kent State could certainly beat
Oh, that's another
Indiana. They're
one. That's another
terrific.
one I got. Now you're giving me some confidence here, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't pick that because I think I figured Trayce Jackson-Davis would at some point just sit down and say, "This is not happening." But that's a worry game for their fans. I think that Charleston against San Diego State is a really a worry game for the Aztecs, and the way we've seen the Mountain West perform on Tuesday, excuse me, Wednesday night, there were a lot of doubters of the Mountain West with good reason. The Mountain West, I called it the metric mirage. They managed to achieve high power rankings without accomplishing much on the floor as a collective league, and the committee bought into it totally. I do like San Diego State, though. Apart from them, I do think that that's a very good basketball team, but would not be at all surprised to see Charleston take them out.
Got a winner of the whole thing for me?
Yeah, I'll say Alabama. I we'll see whether it happens, and I would not be super disappointed if it didn't. Once I got that Final Four, I thought that Alabama was the best qualified team to win it. But I did not have a great affection for how Alabama handled their circumstance, and I would not be at all disappointed to see them depart someday, some point prior to Monday night.
Well, if it's Houston making them depart in the end, that'd be fine by me, because then I would win my bracket potentially. Or
Go for
even
it.
Texas. I think the survivor of that game might end up winning the whole thing. And if they get that far, they meaning Houston, then I guess that means that Sasser's okay, or they figured out a way around it one way or the
Right.
other. Mike, this is your time of year. I know you love it. You've done a great job covering college basketball this year, as you do every year. You've been wonderful coming on with us a couple times in the last few weeks. Thank you for that. Thank you for remembering us back in Pittsburgh. I hear you all the time locally. I know you carve out time this time of year for some of the stations and media outlets here. I know why you do that, and I appreciate why you do that. Thank you for making time for us, and enjoy March Madness this year, okay?
You bet. It's cool. I'm going to be in Greensboro, and it on Friday night, or so, excuse me, Monday night, when I was on my way back from Chicago, where I covered the Big Ten tournament. I have to do so much work that I know every team in the bracket and who they play and all that, and I have to write about it, but I have no idea when the games are or what teams are in what region, because somebody hands me a bracket that has no, doesn't have times yet,
Yeah,
because I got to
right.
get right to work. And so then I'm like, hey, who's going to be in Greensboro, by the way? And I punch it up, and it's Kentucky with Cal, it's Xavier with Sean, and then it's the Pitt slash Mississippi State. And of course, I watched Tuesday night, as now Pitt's coming as well. So really charged up about getting a chance to see a lot of my home people,
Yeah,
as
that's
we
cool.
say.
You got some
Yeah.
Western PA hometown storylines there to sink your teeth into. That's awesome, Mike. Thank you so much. Enjoy it, okay?
You bet. Thanks, Tim.
All right, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Fox, and the Big Ten Network.